Welcome to The Forum, the program that educates, motivates, and advocates on behalf of our listeners. The Forum is sponsored by OSF Healthcare, and it is always a pleasure to welcome back to Peoria Josh Simon. Many people know Josh Simon as the sports guy on WEEK. When I was at WEEK, he was always a great colleague and friend and a union vice president. Thank you very much. He is back in town. Of course, these are the holidays and folks are visiting their hometowns. Josh Simon back. He is the youth director for Temple Kol Ami Emmanuel. Did I say that right?
Yep.
And
Plantation, Florida.
In Florida. And the last time we were here, we were talking about your efforts with young people. As we go into the new year, I remember seeing a story, I think in the last week, on how one of the New Year's resolutions that a lot of parents have and elders have is to better equip today's youth for the future. A lot of people are concerned that our young people are not reading as much as they should. They're spending too much time on video games. They don't know how to communicate with people per COVID, et cetera, et cetera. As youth director, you find any of that to be true?
Yeah. I'm lucky. I work with kids that are already involved. They want to be doing stuff and busy. And the one thing I've seen in the... So I've been doing this actually for 28 years. When I was here at 25, I was the part-time youth director on Shyamath. So I started actually doing this when I was at Bradley. I was a junior at Bradley when I got hired. The other day I was at a conference and words came out of my mouth. I can't believe I was talking to some colleagues that work at camps and stuff like that. And I said, well, I've been doing this as long as you were born, before you were born. But
what age range do you work with?
Now, pre-kindergarten through college.
Okay.
Specifically pre-K through high school, but then I keep a connection with our kids on campus.
You were saying you're working with kids that are already connected, but you do recognize that there is this issue.
Oh, for sure. But what I'm saying is I'm lucky in that, and there are kids in our congregation that are not, that aren't, you know, but they're doing other things to get them. But you see all of it. The one thing that's been great for us is that we pull in teenage-wise, and it's been more in the last 6-7 years. The social is good, going bowling, doing whatever. But if we're doing a community service project, that's drawing teenagers, which is great. Not every teenager. And there are lots that are not connected. But what they're looking for is maybe even a little bit different, too.
So what's your advice to parents, to uncles and aunts who have these concerns, who are trying to get young people interested in what's going on in the world, to pick up a book and put down the cell phone for a minute or two?
Find something that is going to pique their interest. And it may not be what you think, and it may not be, you know, but find something, and then that can kind of turn to doing something that's more not on the phone or not on the... Or quite frankly, and this may not be the answer you expected, but use the phone, use the technology, but use it differently. Don't use it to play a video game or just text your friend. We do programs like picture or scavenger hunts out and about using our phones. You can't get rid of the phones anymore. I work at a summer camp and we have college kids that are counselors, and 5 years ago, we told them you can't have your phones out. The kids don't have them. The kids, we take them away, but we told the counselors, you can't have your phones, you can't have your phones. Now we tell them, keep your phones, use it to take pictures, use it if you need to look something up. You're meeting with the kids and the kid asks you a question, I don't know, let me Google it. So use it for good, not evil. Does that make sense?
Sure. You were saying before we were recording the impact that COVID has had on our youth. You want to expound on that?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't communicate with each other, with anyone. Like, even if it online maybe, and still they were, but there was not in-person communication. So depending on their age, they maybe have never done that. The younger kids, the kids that are now in kindergarten, first grade, like they're learning how to, they didn't go to preschool and have
that socialization,
which is all like you, in high school, you learn math, science, whatever. In preschool, you learn how to share your Legos.
Right.
And now they're 7, 8 years old and they don't know how to share anything or to play together nicely or how to talk to each other necessarily. So it's a different, you know, and it's just a different experience on that end.
It's a challenge for the educators too. You know, I teach in some capacity. You're a teacher in the capacity as being a youth program director. What tools do you use then to bring those young people up to speed? And when I say up to speed, to a point where they can socialize, they can share. How do you correct that antisocial behavior?
So for me, because of what I do, I get them together in a social atmosphere. Like we go bowling, we go to the trampoline park, like whatever we do, maybe even it's just a cookout or something, but we're getting them back in those settings, either back in those settings or in those settings, and it's just they're behind. So we have to just keep doing it. I'm sure there's other ways to, like, but in my position, it's just about getting them there and doing it and being together.
It's kind of a duh statement, the reason why we do what we do with our young people in terms of making sure that they know how to socialize and get along is because we're trying to prepare them for a productive life as an adult. And as an adult, you want to be able to talk to people in a civil way, resolve conflicts without violence, et cetera. So I'm making a segue here, right?
Mm-hmm. And I've known you a long time.
I know you don't want to talk about, and I'm not asking you to talk about the Israel-Hamas conflict, which is probably the worst example of human beings not getting along. But you're in Florida, and you were telling me also before we were recording that you have a lot of folks who are migrating to your state as a result of the conflict, right?
So we have, before that, the South Florida is, I think, the third largest Israeli or Jewish community in the country.
Right.
Third, fourth, second, somewhere in that range. And a lot of Israelis. The congregation I work at has 700 families, and I think 20% have at least some form of an Israeli mom, dad, both, right, whatever. Lots of first generations Americans that are part of our program. So when this all happened October 7th, people that were in Israel left to get away to be safe, and they came to be with family or friends or things, and we've had an influx of refugees that have come in, and we've done this stuff to raise money and send toys and this and that to Israel. But the program that I think our congregation would tell you they're the most proud of is called Shachar, and it is a Monday through Friday, 9 to 3, I think, program. So we'll talk about the world and, you know, the working at home and this and that, but the parents, most of these parents are still working remotely from South Florida to Israel. And so they needed a place to send their kids during the day. And so we run a program, and there's 20 to 25 kids that come Monday through Friday. It's all in Hebrew. Well, mostly in Hebrew, because when I go hang out with them, it's in 2 and 3 words, because I know 2 or 3 words of Hebrew and they know 2 or 3 words of English.
Gotcha.
And we make lots of hand signs to each other. But they come, and that is it's a break for the parents. It's a chance for these kids to get together with other kids who have gone through the same thing, are going through the same thing. They're learning English. They're doing other activities. As the youth director, my job is once a week we do a field trip. So we've taken them bowling to the, it's the same stuff I do with our youth group kids.
How long do you think they'll be there?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I don't know how long they'll be in South Florida. I was just informed that the program is going to end next Friday because a few families have gone back, but the majority of them now that are staying, because they came in the middle of a semester, didn't know what to do. Now that they're staying, they're going to register them for public school. So after school starts again in a week and a half, there's going to be much less need for it because I think there's only a couple of kids that aren't signed up for public school, and now I think they'll sign them up. But that program will end, but how long are they going to stay? I mean...
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, it's the same thing as you look at the people that came here from Ukraine or things like... Even if the war ends, if they've settled in here and they have family, who knows?
Well, let's not say even if the war ends. Let's say when the war ends.
Yeah. Yes,
when the war ends.
Without talking politics, the war's been a war of some sort has been going on long before we were around.
True. Josh Simon, always a pleasure to see you, sir. Make sure next time you come through town, you stop by.
So it becomes a regular stop now.
Indeed. On now to my conversation with Kenny Drummond. He is, of course, the head of the Hot Shots basketball tournament that is coming to Illinois Central College in January during the King Holiday Weekend. He's got a number of schools that will be visiting Central Illinois and some that are already here. This tournament, as I said, during the King Holiday Weekend is one that Kenny is hoping people will support. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just wonderful, man. I appreciate you having me on the show.
All right. No problem. So let's go back a little bit before we talk about the tournament.
Sure.
Which is January 13th through the 15th. People know you in a number of different arenas. One, you were a high school star at Spalding. You were one of the first people to come out of Peoria to sign an NBA contract. You're coaching at Quest. You host tournaments that over the years, and I'm just going to throw out a number, you've probably brought, 500 schools to Central Illinois in the years that you've been doing tournaments, if not more.
I would say schools as well as individual travel teams. I brought a lot of teams, a lot of people. I've done a lot for the economy in Peoria.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. A lot of people come through by way of basketball. Now, let's go back again personally, though.
Sure.
So basketball has pretty much been your life, but I know you, and you have talked to me about how sports can also be transcendent for young people in terms of teaching them things about character, ambition, inspiration, et cetera. Expound on that.
Well, I mean, I grew up on the south end of Peoria, and I'm very proud of that. I grew up in the old Harrison Homes, and I had a guy a while back named Mr. Jones, who was the director of the Boys and Girls Club.
Richard Jones,
man. He always told me, because he saw something in me, and he always told me that, like, to use sports as a vehicle and don't let sports use me. And I carried that with me forever.
Use sports as a vehicle.
Yeah,
but don't let sports use you.
Which means, like, you know, go to school, do your work. Don't expect teachers to give you a grade. You know what I'm saying? Go in there and do what you're supposed to do. And, you know, earn it. Earn what you want. That way nobody can take it away from you.
So I'm sure during the course of you going through with your career, you saw guys who, unfortunately, sports used them.
I did.
Put all their eggs into the sports basket, and if they broke a knee or something like that, then they didn't have anything to fall back on.
I saw many men and women where they did not take it as serious as they should have, and they end up on the wrong side of athletics, where they end up not being able to go to college, or they went to college and they didn't finish because, you know, people think a four-year scholarship is 4 years when it's actually 4 1-year scholarships that they can revoke it at any time if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And so I think when kids learn that it's not a four-year scholarship, that it's actually 1 year at a time, and that you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do in that 1 year in order to get renewed for that second year.
And you want to make sure that these young athletes know that they're giving you a free education, right?
Yeah, well, that's why, I mean, I try to tell kids now, man, to stay off Twitter, because, you know, those 40 words that you put on Twitter can cost you a $40,000 scholarship.
What do you mean?
Well, like if you post something on Twitter, you know, like if you do like a video or something and it's negative video. And
inappropriate.
Inappropriate. And because college coaches, when they recruit you, they look at all that stuff. And if they see you on Twitter smoking a blunt or whatever, and they're thinking about giving you a scholarship, they're probably going to give that scholarship to somebody else, because there's a lot of kids out there that can play sports. We're not the only ones. There's a lot of kids that can play. And scholarships are important now because coaches' jobs are on the line. I mean, they can give you a scholarship, man. You can go in there and do something in the community and cost the coach's job. So it's not always about talent. They're looking at character now more than anything.
Mm. So it's important that you learn good character. And as a coach, I'm sure you've had to impart some of those character lessons for young guys who may not have, you know, father figures, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, as a coach, it's more than just basketball. You are a father figure. Even if they do have a father, when they're on a team, when they're at practice, when they're at school, you're actually in charge of them. And I take pride in, even though I'm coaching the middle school with my experience, I take pride in coaching the guys that I coach because I enjoy giving them, you know, I tell them all the time, I'm going to teach you everything that I know and not everything that you know. I'm going to try to get you to understand the reason why you're doing this.
Yeah. And going back to the scholarship, mm-hmm. when you go through school, if you're fortunate enough to go through those 4 years, mm-hmm. and you're hoping guys get a degree,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the goal. That should be the goal. That's not the goal for everybody, because a lot of people, they just want to go to college for the recognition. They go to the NFL, NBA, or hockey, or whatever. It's important to stress the importance of getting your college degree. And a college degree is not a guarantee, but it's a reason for people to kind of take you serious.
When does an athlete know that they're not good enough to make it in the pros or to the next level? I remember talking to Dr. Chris Reynolds, and he was saying when he was playing for Indiana, he was competing against Kendall Gill. And Kendall Gill, I think, stole the ball from him or something and went down court and then slammed it. And he looked, and he at that moment, he thought, you know, maybe I should think about something else.
I mean, fortunately, that never happened to me, because, like, I'm not bragging about anything, but I was always able to hold my own and compete with anybody I stepped on the court with. And I've competed against a lot of great players, and I've never had a situation where I wanted to retire after the game. I mean, they wanted to retire, but I didn't want to retire after the game.
But what do you tell athletes? Because you know where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. You talk to a lot of guys, and all of them will say, oh, yeah, I'm going to play in the NBA. Oh, yeah, I want to be the next LeBron, or I want to play sports. And you look at the guy, and it's like, I know five guys who are better than you.
Well, that's my thing is, man, like, I try not to be, like, I try not to be
discouraging.
No, I try not to be a role model, but a goal model. Means I tell kids, man, you know, set your own goals. Don't let people set your goals for you. You know, set your own goals and strive for your goals. If you think you can do it, all you got to do is give it 110%. Because to be honest with you, when I was like in a seventh grade, my coach at Harrison actually told me, don't even come out for the team, because I got my team already. Okay? But that didn't discourage me from like playing. I mean, I just played harder over the summer. And then I made the team when I was in the eighth grade. And we were at a game at Tree Wynn, playing Tree Wynn, when a coach from another school approached me about talking to my parents. And that was the first game that my mom came to because she didn't like going to games. And the coach was from Spalding. Okay, this was on a Saturday. And that Monday, Spalding was at my house.
Wow.
Offering me a scholarship to go to a private school. Okay? And so my thing is like, if that's your goal, go for it. I'm not going to tell you what you can and cannot do. Because if you look at the words African, American, Mexican, Puerto Rican, and Jamaican, they all end with I can.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as I can. So I'm not going to tell you you can't do this, you can't do that. If you think you can do it and I can support you in any kind of way, I'm going to support you.
But you also want those athletes to be student athletes.
Well, that's why
comes before athletes.
Well, that's why when you're talking to them, then you have to have a degree to show them that. Okay, because I have 2 degrees and I can show student athletes, look, I mean, even though I did all that stuff, I still have my degrees and I would not be at Quest if I did not have my degrees. So regardless of what you want to, even if you play in the NBA or NFL for 5 years, I still recommend you go back and get your degree.
Because there are some things in life in terms of business, handling your own business, and then going to the next level. I'm looking at you and your basketball tournaments. Mm-hmm. I'm sure your schooling has helped in terms of relating to people, communication skills,
yes.
Writing out proposals for teams, negotiating with hotels and other venues, right?
Yeah, a lot of the college experience for me was like the communicating part. And the communication part, it really started when I was in high school because I went to a predominantly white school, but I lived in a black area. So I learned at that white school, man, how to, like, communicate with everybody because the world is really black and white, man, because it's not all black, it's not all white, it's black and white. So when I was in high school, I learned at a really, really, really young age how to communicate with just about anybody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I used to be a shy public speaker, and I was like, once I learn how to speak in public, the world's going to be in trouble. Because now I can speak for myself. I don't need anybody to speak. I can speak for myself now.
Right.
And so I was like, once I learned how to speak for myself and do this public speaking, it took a lot for me to get in front of people. And that's like, once I get this down packed, the world's going to be in trouble because now I can speak for myself.
I'm curious to find out what you think about paying college athletes now for.
I think it's long overdue. I think it's long overdue, man, because I give you a good example. When I was at NC State, we was on TV at least 4 times a week, and we did not have money to do laundry. And even though we lived in, NC State bought an old hotel, which was an old Ramada Inn, and they had washer and dryers in there. You had to have quarters to use them. They wasn't free, okay, because it was against the rules for athletes to have more than what the other students had. And so we never even had quarters, man, to do laundry. There was a movie theater across the street. We couldn't even go to the movies.
Mm.
And we were on TV, man, ESPN, NBC, at least 3 to 4 times a week. And everybody was getting paid except us. I think it's long overdue. As a matter of fact, man, I think they owe me money.
Yeah. Basketball reparations.
Yeah, I think they owe me money, man, because like I said, we was on TV, man. And I'm playing the whole game. I think I'm one of the stars. I'm like, man, I should be getting something. But that wasn't the case. I think it's long overdue. And I think it's great that athletes are now starting to get what the coaches are getting. I think it's long overdue.
All right. Let's talk about this tournament.
Sure.
Hot Shots, MLK Basketball, January 13th through the 15th, playing at Illinois Central College in East Peoria. And you have a number of teams. You got some state championship teams that will be represented, as well as I mentioned earlier, some teams that are from out of town. Tell me about the idea for this. This is around the MLK holiday. Why is it important for you to bring these teams together during this weekend?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. First of all, this is a weekend where nobody is doing any basketball. And I kind of wanted to capitalize on the days that are going to be open. And a lot of teams bought into the idea of playing over the MLK weekend. And I like it because it's a versatile tournament, which means there's black teams, there's white teams. There's a variety of teams that's going to be in my tournament.
And you and I have talked before we were recording about you want to make sure at least when they come to the tournament, visually, they can see some aspects of King in terms of what he stood for.
Exactly. I think that's important, man, because I don't want to take advantage of the King name and not give anything back to the King Foundation. Martin Luther King did a lot for a lot of people. And I think I remember correctly, man, when he was like in eighth grade, he was on the basketball team.
Yeah, he played basketball.
I'm not sure how good he was.
Well, Andrew Young, when he came to Peoria, talked about how he would use his height, smallness to his advantage. You know, so I could see him as a point guard.
I can see that.
Around,
when you say the smallness, one of my heroes growing up was not an athlete. My hero was Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay.
Oh my God, because he was talking one time, man, and I was a small point guard, and I remember him saying vividly that when you're smaller than everybody else, you got to be better than everybody else. You can't be like everybody else. And he was always the smallest one in his groups. He goes, that's why I work so hard. So he was like, when I first heard him say that, I was like, man, that's what I'm talking about, Sammy.
Yeah.
So ever since then, I was a Rat Pack favorite.
All right, so you got the 2023 IHSA State Champions Metamora Redbirds, the third place winners East St. Louis. You got Richwood, Springfield Lamphere, Peoria Christian, many other talented teams. Besides them coming away,
I've got Quest is going to be there. East Peoria, I've got a really, really, really good team out of New Jersey. Called Eastside High School. It's actually the Eastside High School is where the movie Lean on Me was filmed at. So I got them coming to town. I got Chicago Or Girls, Hazelwood Central out of Missouri. Man, this is gonna be a big event, and so I'm hoping that people will come out and see some good basketball.
All right. So it is January 13th through the 15th. If anybody wants to find out more information, is there a website they can go to?
You can go to PeoriaHotshotsAcademy.com.
PeoriaHotshotsAcademy.com.
Yep, and tickets are going to be at the door. The first game starts at 9 o'clock on January the 13th. The last game starts at 7:30. So it's going to be all-day basketball.
All right. Kenny Drummond, I've been asking you a lot of questions. Anything that you wanted to impart that we didn't talk about?
No, I want to keep it sports wise. I don't want to get political on you. I want to keep it sports wise. So I'm just hoping that people will come out and support the tournament. Like I said, it's going to be two great days of basketball. It's going to be very competitive games, highlighted games. Like you said, the Metamora Redbirds, Richwood Knights, who are really good this year. It's going to be a lot of good competition.
All right. Very good. Hey, thanks for being on The Forum.
Man, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
The Forum is sponsored by OSF Healthcare. The Forum airs at 10 a.m. on Saturday and is rebroadcast at 7 p.m. on Sunday. We want to leave you with a quote from novelist Alice Walker, who said, "The most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any." Thanks for listening.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking.